Hello and welcome. You've got it tuned to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the University of British Columbia, which is situated on the ancestral territory of the Musqueam people. My name is Jasper. I'm your host. And hey, I've got two very special guests in studio with me. Fellas, do you want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, sure. Hello, my name is Rob.
And I'm Graham, and we're part of the band Leisure Club.
That's awesome.
Leisure Club.
Do you pronounce it leisure?
We say leisure because we're uncultured swine from North America, but everyone from the UK that we've encountered says our name's wrong. So
I've always said leisure. I think it's more leisurely than leisure.
Yeah, there's a bit more effort to the leisure.
To the leisure. And pleasure. Well, we're here to premiere a brand new single, a world premiere of a brand new single.
World premiere exclusive.
Yeah, which
CITR.
Is coming out on Friday.
Yes, that's correct.
But we're not going to do it just yet. We're going to work up to it. You fellas have prepared a special playlist for us.
Yeah, just a bunch of songs that have influenced us in our music and songs that we want to share with you. So, first one up is Always.
Okay, Always. Tell us a bit about the song and who it's by.
Well, it's by Always.
The band Always.
Is it Always or Always? What's with the V's? Because I've always said that wrong, I guess. I'm learning right now.
It sounds
right
like you're pronouncing everything wrong.
Always. Well, it's like Leisure Club.
You don't say chverches.
Yeah, no, I totally don't say that at all. I've never done that ever.
I think the VV is just aesthetics.
Yeah.
We need some clever like punctuation in our name, I think, to get on trend.
Well, it's not too late. You could totally rebrand.
Leisure Club with two E's.
This could be the last single you release as Leisure Club, yeah. And then you could rebrand it.
This could be the last thing the band ever does.
You never know. Well, what Always song are we going to hear?
It's called In Undertow.
Oh, yeah, great.
Always is great for us. We really love harmonies, and they slay harmonies. And that, like, nice, bright, jangly guitar tone.
Yeah, and those, like, really tight, well-constructed pop songs, they kind of nail everything.
The writing, and interesting, though, too, right? Like,
absolutely.
Pop songs aren't always interesting and accessible at the same time. I think they've managed to hit that, which is impressive.
Cool. All right. Well, this is In Undertow by Always.
I
I love the falsetto ending. You know, it's like a new moment for the melody in that tune.
It's also like the beginning of a sweet sitcom, you know?
Right.
Like the end of the theme song of the opening credits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I just picture, like, with the thumbs up, you know?
Like, yeah, like, the frame pauses, yeah. And, like, everybody hey. Walks to the front door, or they walk into Cheers or something.
There it is, yeah.
In full color.
Yeah, nice selection. I love the laid-back delivery of Molly Birch's vocals. Well, we've talked about it. I love everything about that band.
Molly Rankin?
Excuse yeah. me, Molly Rankin.
Whoa. Molly Birch is super sick.
Is there a relation yeah. to the Rankin family?
Yeah.
Yes, what? There is.
Wow. Yes. I'm having always is blowing my mind right now. Holy.
Yeah.
I'm learning so much. So glad we're here today.
I'm actually not familiar with the Rankin family.
Dude.
I know, but I remember listening to an interview with Molly and she was talking about her family.
My mom is a huge Rankin family fan, and I used to get woken up as a teenager at like 8 in the morning on weekends just blasting Rankin family, and it's like very Irish influenced traditional kind of Gaelic
right.
stuff.
That's what I thought, like East Coast kind of folk
Barry,
Gaelic stuff.
Yeah, there it is. That's exactly what it is. And I mean, as a 15-year-old, maybe didn't love that
sure.
Getting woken up to it anyway. But yeah, they're a part of our heritage as Canadians. So it's good to see that here that Always is carrying on the torch.
Yeah.
Anyway,
in a big way. Hey, so for everyone listening at home who may not have heard of Leisure Club, could you guys tell us a bit about the Leisure Club story? Like when, where you started, who's involved, et cetera?
Yeah, so myself and Jamie have been friends since high school and played in other bands for the last nine.
Jamie's our singer.
Yeah, Jamie's the singer. For the last 9 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in Bestie briefly with Rob and Daniel.
Yes.
Daniel's our drummer.
Daniel's our drummer, yeah. And kind of those bands just kind of
coalesced.
Coalesced, yeah. Good word.
Thank you.
And yeah, and we had met Sean, our keyboardist, through the Peak Performance Project.
Okay.
Because he used to play in Fax. So these three bands kind of, yeah, just collided and we hit the ground running, so to say.
When did you collide?
I guess Bestie was kind of hitting a crossroads. We were active for about 4 years
yeah.
around in and around Vancouver in Canada and kind of hit a crossroads in the direction of the band and decided that we needed to make some changes and kind of just started rehearsing outside of that Bestie sort of moniker mm-hmm. or theme, I guess, or whatever you'd want to call it. And then brought Jamie in to just kind of have some casual jams, and we ended up writing a bunch of songs impromptu together, and the rest is kind of history. I think the other thing with band, I guess my experience with playing music is definitely there's this pining of friendship or just like camaraderie of hanging out. So like a lot of times these bands that we play in are usually started as like an excuse to hang out and just, you know,
yeah.
spend time together because we were all friends before Leisure Club and then, you know, something productive comes out of that and it grows into something more, but there's always that foundation of just like shooting the
weep. Yeah, I strongly believe that personal relationship that underpins any kind of artistic collaboration or musical collaboration, I should say, is more important than like one's chops. You know, like if you have a group of people that really enjoy spending time together and can make, you know, are reasonably proficient on their instruments, something cool is going to happen, I think.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
like, but you know, you can really hear tension, I think. Social tension can ruin, well, does ruin bands all the time.
Yeah. Or see it at a show.
And you see it at a show.
Someone's on stage and they're like, this guy definitely doesn't want to be here.
Absolutely. Maybe they're 2 weeks into a tour and it's like, it's getting to be a bit much.
Yeah, it's interesting how music can be a kind of a double-edged sword in a lot of ways. Because like, I guess if you're hitting that sweet spot where you're really vibing with the rest of the people you're playing with, especially in the writing kind of phase of things, you end up feeling closer than you've ever been, I think, to a lot of people. Like you're connecting on a lot of ways that are hard, very intangible.
Yeah.
Like you're able to predict someone else's kind of thought process, at least
yeah.
in a creative sense. But then on the flip side of that, if you fall out of sync or you're trying to do something and you feel like no one else is really getting it, you can kind of exacerbate a divide that is already maybe there.
Absolutely. It feels so bad when you're out of sync.
Yeah. Yeah, it's highs and lows. Highs and lows. Kind of like the game of golf.
Yeah.
You're either doing well or you suck at it.
Right. Yeah, there's no seems to be no middle ground with golf either. It's yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with
I've
that.
I've never played like beyond a pitch and putt match of golf.
Same. Yeah. I don't know why my brain conjured that.
Went to
up.
Golf.
It's not a good kind of good reference.
Okay, well, why don't we kick it to another song? What have you got next?
Oh boy. We didn't actually plan out an order for this.
That's
so,
okay.
We're going to go off the cuff here.
Why don't you do one of yours that you picked?
Okay, cool. So I picked this band called Mauno. I think that's
Mauno.
How you say it. They're from the East Coast as well. They're not a huge band, but they deserve to be. They're Canadian. I'll just let it speak for itself. They play with some really weird time signature stuff, lots of weird timing, and some really nice vocals. The influence for me is basically just trying to consciously step outside of my comfort zone, think about, you know, our approach to music and how do we make it unconventional without making it weird just for the sake of being weird.
Right.
These guys hit that stride of like, it's interesting and engaging to listen to, and it's not very common, but it's also not like music that's made for musicians, if that makes sense.
Cool. This I'm really glad you picked Mauno. There's like, did they just put a new record out, or is it?
They did, yeah, this year. I was introduced to them, weirdly enough, like 2 or 3 years ago, just by pure chance. A friend of mine dragged me out to a show at 333
sure.
Clark.
Yeah.
This was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I really didn't want to go out. And I know that place is usually open late.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, no, it's an early show. It's, you know, it's done at 10:30. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, in that case, like, you know,
sure.
Sign me up. And had no idea about these guys. And they just absolutely blew my mind alive. And immediately went out and tracked down the rest of all their music I could find. So
is this old Mauno or is this new Mauno?
This is older. This is off of their, I believe, maybe first EP or demo.
Excellent.
It's the song is called Nothing.
Okay, here's Nothing by Mauno. Ooh, nice ending. The bending up.
Seems like we just heard something like that song before.
Yeah, actually, kind of.
Maybe there's a trend with our picks.
That's great. I've never heard any of the early Mauno. I've only heard the upcoming record that they sent me.
I'd imagine it's all good.
It is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with Manow.
They've been charting here lately too.
If anyone is wondering how to spell that, it's M-A-U-N-O. M-A-U-N-O. That was my biggest challenge with finding them online.
Was how to spell it?
Yeah. Like, hey, we're Manow. I'm like, oh, crap.
Is it M-O-W? Yeah. Is it, yeah.
M-A-U, M-A-U? I don't know.
Where are those folks from?
I believe they're from the Maritimes. Quote me on that.
Sure.
I want to say Halifax because that's just what I gravitate towards when someone says we're from the Maritimes, but that could be fake news. I don't know.
Okay, good. Noted. So maybe from the East Coast,
yeah.
But doesn't really matter.
They're from Canada.
They're Canadian.
I swear to God, they're from Canada.
So Leisure Club's been releasing a single. You've been putting out singles pretty steadily over the last several months. It seems like.
Yeah.
There have been like three or four of them.
Yeah, we've released three. Next one's coming out in 2 days on Friday.
Right.
They've pretty much come out every month and a half-ish.
Great.
Since March. Yeah, we just kind of wanted to stagger this release instead of dropping an EP right off the bat, like give everyone a little taste along the way.
Cool. That was my question is, so this is going to be, these are all going to be collected and put into an EP.
I mean, I guess as much as you can these days with digital kind of, I mean, we're not going to be pressing anything physical,
sure.
Or there's no plans to at this point with the singles. We did do a physical pressing with our first album, which is expensive AF.
Yeah.
It's a cost that's, I think, worth spending on putting out there, but... yeah, for the singles, I guess repackaging in the sense that you can listen to them all on Spotify. But, you know, we wanted to kind of give them their own special treatment in terms of, like, they all have unique album art, dedicated kind of, like, we released them all individually. We found with the album, we were really, really proud of what we had put out and what we had made and felt like, you know, each song was just, like, we were really happy with every song on the album that we did. And releasing it all at once was really great. It's a great accomplishment, but we also felt like not every song maybe got the opportunity to kind of be showcased the way we wanted it to. We had lots of discussions, but what I'm really saying is arguments about which songs we kind of want to focus on as singles out of the album. And, you know, we had four songs in the chamber, and it was kind of, do we write a bunch more and do a second album, or do we, you know, just release these as one-offs? The other kind of balance there was just the current status of the music industry and digital streams and all of these things. Like the album still definitely has a very important place, I think, in music. But at the same time, it's a new world where you can, you know, trickle out singles and people listen to them and
people listen to them more.
Yeah,
I think it's a far more effective way to. To share music these days, to keep hold of attention and to build momentum. I mean, you said it precisely that when you release 12 songs as a group, like, yeah, the singles get attention, maybe a few more, but like you're not getting the music heard. But at the same time, I think, you know, I'm very attached to the album format. Like we all are, love that. Everyone loves that like collection, that group of songs, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a, I don't know, like, you have to have offergram, but, like, it's, for me, it's just this, like, constant push and pull of, you know, you can do so many things with an album you cannot do with a single or an EP. And, you know, you can cohesively tell a story, you can bring listeners on, like, a journey, but also the approach to making an album like that is, you know, years in the making. You have to have it really thought out. It's not just 10 songs that you throw together.
And it's expensive.
Yeah.
Super expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
But we were lucky enough to get a grant from Creative BC to do these four singles.
Nice.
So that really helped, and we're super, super thankful for that.
Yeah, we're lucky we live in a country that provides funding for the arts.
Aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
It's easy to take it for granted, especially if you've ever applied for a Factor grant or something that's just like really kind of tedious and just like, oh, yeah. It makes you want to pull your hair out. But if you talk to a band, say in America, they have there's no such thing as public funding.
Like, right.
So, I mean, every time I've talked to someone from down south about grants, they just like,
they're like, what are you talking about?
Their mind is literally blown. Yeah.
I know.
Not literally, but you know what I mean.
Figuratively.
Yeah, figuratively blown. Their minds are figuratively blown.
But you're right, Creative BC, and they're very approachable. You know, yes. Those grants aren't like, they're not rocket science, which is really great.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, they want you to get the money.
They're there to give it to you.
Creative BC, help us help you.
Did you make these four singles like at the same time, at the same place, same with the same team, or did you do them separately?
Yeah, we did two of them with Ryan Worsley at Echo Plant. And two of them with Howard Redekop at Monarch.
Cool.
So we kind of knew going in that each song or two songs with each producer, they would both kind of have their own feel.
Sure.
Because both of those producers have different vibes. So, we just wanted to try and get the most out of each one because we had a hard time picking.
They're good choices, and I think they complement each other well.
Totally.
They both have like great pop sensibilities. I just did air quotes for everyone listening at home. But they have their own style, and they complement each other well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we'd also worked with both of them before songs, which was a nice, like, because really when it came down to it, originally we were talking about doing all four singles with the same producer, and we went back and forth on it quite a bit, and then kind of came to the realization that the individual songs suited the producer's styles
awesome.
A bit better. So, yeah, for Forever and Dirt, which was Dirt just came out a little while ago. Those were done with Ryan Worsley.
Okay.
And we really felt that his approach to kind of producing and creating really aligned itself well with those two songs. Forever, especially, I think, because it's a dance song masquerading as a pop song, I think, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And Ryan's just like got that part of production just dialed, you know.
Yeah,
like,
he's more dancey.
Yeah, you know, he worked with Dear Rouge, and
that's where my mind went. Yeah.
And then Howard has got this kind of more organic sort of approach. He's very, you know, all about capturing the sound in the room, you know, getting the performance organically out of the band. And like the other two songs are a bit slower, a bit more. Like a Strange Times isn't slower. I'm dangerously close to talking about
it's hard to articulate, but yes. Sometimes you just know, like, I think this song is for Ryan, I think this song's for Howard. Can't necessarily tell you why, but it's just how you feel, you know?
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah.
Thank you for bailing me out there.
Oh yeah, no problem. Okay, well, why don't we throw to another tune? What is next on the hit parade? I think this is are we gonna alternate selections? Is this how we should do it?
I think sure. So.
Okay, so we're next. Back to Graham.
This one is Travis Bretzer.
Oh, I don't know this.
He is originally from Edmonton, I believe. He used to play with Mac DeMarco like back in the day.
Okay.
He's in Vancouver now. And going back to like talking about grants and record label and the battle between like getting your music out there. One thing I really respect about him is like he's had lots of success and opportunity to sign with labels, but he chose to just do it all himself because
really?
He didn't want to be bound to like touring all the time, and he just wants to be able to like put out and release as much music as he can without having to be like tied to a contract or
right.
like whatever the label wants him to do.
Sure. That's interesting. You don't hear that very often these days.
Yeah. So I really like that.
Okay.
And he just released this week actually. It is called Love Is Of Me by Travis Bretzer. Thank you.
Which one of you coined the term lake music when we were talking about that just now? Was that you,
that was Rob?
Yeah.
Lake music.
Yeah. That I just thought of, I actually thought of sitting at your cabin on Shuswap, Graham.
Yeah. You're sitting on the dock. You've got a beer in your hand.
Yeah.
Sun's out.
At the Schwab.
The Schwab. Yeah.
I don't know. Do people call it the Schwab?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Oh, great. It just seemed like the most logical thing to call it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That was a great, great tune. One more time. What was that fella's name?
That was Travis Bretzer.
Travis Bretzer. Wow. Good job, Travis. Keep it up. Now that you've got these four singles done and released at the end of the week, what's next for the band? Are you guys going to start working on music right away? What's your process like?
Yeah, we're kind of like, we're definitely going into songwriting mode.
Right.
So we've got a bunch of ideas that we're throwing around now over the last couple months. But yeah, we're basically just going to buckle down and focus on like finding a sound, figuring out like where we want to go from here, but not being like pressured into releasing something right away.
Yeah.
Or getting like too worried about playing too many shows, just like focusing on being in a band, playing music with your buds.
I'm always curious to hear like how songs come to be in different bands. Like for most people, the response I get is that like there's one or two people in the band who are sort of principal writers who just bring more or less fleshed out songs to the band, and then like the band makes them real songs. Does that sound familiar to you too?
Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes yeah. Like me or Jamie or Sean will like bring an idea or like send an idea to everybody, and we'll like flesh it out from there. But I think a majority of our songs are like in the jam space, and someone just starts playing something, and we're like, "Oh, that's cool," and we just run with it.
Oh, that's great!
Yeah, so we're kind of like Captain Planet band. You know, like
yeah.
Our powers combine.
You combine
write a song. Because I think like just building off of that, usually the nugget that starts a song is it's rarely what we. Like, it's unrecognizable by the end of the process.
Sure,
like, whatever
thing
started the idea of the song is usually forgotten.
The trigger.
Yeah. So, it's like a growth journey to get kind of hippy-dippy about it.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
each other.
That's really cool. I've never played in a band like that where, it, like, there's a spark.
I'm so surprised. I feel like that's, like, you'd be so good in that scenario.
No. The bands I'm always in, it's less spontaneous, I guess. You know, but it's just process, like everybody. Oh, so I just remembered, we are going to open the phone lines. If there's anyone out there listening who wants to ask Rob or Graham from Leisure Club a question, we have a phone line, and you can reach us at 604-822-3104. We don't have any fun prize giveaways. It's not that kind of call.
We could give away a vinyl.
Wow, okay.
Okay. You want two?
Maybe they could answer a question, or they could...
Skill testing math question. We have no way of verifying the answer. Well, Graham's pretty good at head math. Math in his head, so...
Okay, well, now there's some incentive. So that number, again, is 604-822-3104 for your chance to talk directly to Graham and Rob from Leisure Club about their music, about their thoughts on... pretty much anything, really.
Totally.
Yeah.
And potentially score a free vinyl.
Excellent.
If we like you, we'll give you a record.
It's totally at their discretion.
It's very
whether
subjective.
Or not.
Yeah.
Entirely subjective.
Wow us.
Wow, Graham and Rob from Leisure Club. All right. Well, in the meantime, let's continue with the hit parade. Rob, I think you're up.
All right. Yeah. Songs my turn. I am going to pick a song by the band called Braids, also Canadian. I think they're from Ontario. If you haven't heard of them, look them up. They're an amazing band. Lots of textures, dynamics to their songwriting, some beautiful vocals as well. I think the inspiration for us with this one specifically is kind of just about how all the different elements of the song kind of play off of each other. It creates this nice washed out sort of atmosphere feel to the song that I think we're trying to kind of accomplish with our own songwriting in a lot of ways, especially with Sean. I'm speaking for Sean a little bit right now, our keyboard player, who does a lot. He just spends a lot of time thinking about the soundscape, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like
sure,
tones
sure.
on the synth and all those little things that you probably don't even ever realize about your favorite songs that make them your favorite songs.
You need people like that in the room.
Absolutely.
If you're not thinking about it, you need the frequency person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you need some nerds.
Okay.
No band is complete without one or two huge nerds.
So this is Braids. What's the song?
Called Letting Go.
Letting Go.
Off the album Deep in the Iris.
Okay.
Found that canned ham, and I put it in a pot of boiling water, and guess what I'm calling it?
Soup?
Hot ham water.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, nourishing radio.
Oh. So watery. And yet there's a smack of ham to it.
Do you want to voice this one?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Do you want me to voice it?
I can voice it. Please voice
That's
this
the
one.
Wrong mic.
Okay, I forgot.
You f- dip. I can't believe I put up with this. And I asked for a grape soda, you asshole. Okay.
Due to a labor dispute, CITR is missing its star voice actors. That means if you're interested in producing PSAs, advertisements, and various other promotional wonders for airplay on the radio, we need you. Learn how to get involved with CITR's production department and all other facets of volunteering at CITR and Discorder Magazine at CITR.ca. Programming, photography, media training, and more. Plus, a guest star in the lounge. No, wait, we can't promise that.
Can't believe I put up with this.
That's a PSA made by one of our favorite people around here. His name is John Q. He does great work.
Nice grape soda.
It's the most like artful radio PSAs and ads I've ever heard. That was Braids. That was a really great tune.
It was.
Excellent selection. Yeah, tell me, is there anything else coming up for you guys other than the like writing session? You're not so much doing shows these days. It's more like woodshed time.
We're not doing shows. We don't have any shows booked, but
right.
Like obviously if an amazing opportunity to play the Commodore comes up,
sure.
We're going to play it.
You've played the Commodore, yes?
We have, yeah. It was really cool. We opened for the band Milky Chance.
Oh,
I don't know
right
if you've heard
yeah.
of them. They're fairly big. We lucked out, I think, last minute. Live Nation reached out to us. I think the supporting act for the tour had to bail out on the show the week before. So they needed someone to come in, and we were available. We played back-to-back sold-out nights at the Commodore. Which,
oh, you got to do two.
It was crazy. Yeah. It was an experience for sure. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it. A lot of adrenaline.
Yeah. I've never done the Commodore, but that's like... You know, that's one of those venues.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Okay, well, why don't we do another song?
Certainly.
This is a Graham selection.
Yeah. This is Krungbin. Some people say Krungbin.
I don't know how to say it. I say Krungbin just because I don't know.
In the end of one of their songs off of not their latest dub album, but the one before that, there's a little like monologue back and forth where a bunch of people are trying to pronounce it, and they're going Krungbin, and then you yeah. hear Mark Spears, the
that was actually me,
come in, and he says Krungbin, and they're like, no.
Do you know Steve Bettle from Wooden Horseman? You guys know Steve?
No. I don't think so.
Oh, he's a local guy. He's a good friend of mine. He was playing Caslow Jazz Fest this weekend with Krungbin. Like they were there at the same time.
Whoa!
And
they were in Caslow Jazz.
They
Fest.
Were. They headlined, and Steve lent the guitarist his whammy bar.
Nice.
And he was super excited about
that
it.
That is amazing. I just want to say Graham turned me on to this band this year at some point, and the first time he posted it in our like band Slack sort of group, and I ignored it, as one does, and found it. It came up in my Spotify, like, Discover Weekly or whatever, and I was like, oh my god, this band is amazing. You guys got to listen to it.
Right.
And Graham's like, Rob, screw you, eh? Because I showed this to you, like, 3 months ago, so I'm cooler,
yeah.
Which is true. But then, like, it quickly became, like, a bit of, like, an album, like, on repeat. It was the only thing I listened to for, the next month or so after. So this song is great, but, like, absolutely go check out all of it because it's worth it.
They also put on one of the best live shows I've ever seen. They played at the Vogue, and it's just, like, just the sexiest vibe you've ever been in. Like, their bass lines are walking through each other.
Yeah.
Like, the way the bass and guitar, like, talk to each other, they're not just, like, playing the song, like, they're having a conversation, which is really cool.
That's very cool. I heard about that show, and someone who was there told me that the vibe was very much like the band was there to play, but not necessarily like entertain. And they kind of like sat back and did the show. And there was it almost like they wanted people to kind of interact with each other a bit more. And was that the impression you got from them?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They're fabulous. They're just putting out like a dub version of their most recent record.
Yeah.
Like a dub remix version. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Is it out yet?
King Tubby? Came out last week, I think.
Oh, it's already out. Okay.
King Tubby Crumbin?
Something like that.
Also a three-piece, which deserves getting called out because, you'll see.
Well, they sound so much huger.
Yeah.
Which tune are we hearing?
This is Dern Calla off their first album.
Great.
Thank you.
Another great ending, eh? Just climbing up the scale or whatever they're doing. I don't know what they're doing.
A good ending is so underrated when you think about it.
Well, that's where I don't know about you two, but like I have my most musical arguments talking about beginnings and endings.
Yeah, that seems pretty on point.
How to start your song, how to end the song.
Yeah. Starting usually is tough because, you know.
They're both tough.
Yeah.
That's where you have to make, they're two like statement moments. You have to make statements at the beginning, at the ending.
What are your thoughts on the fade out?
I have so many thoughts on the fade out.
We need another hour.
That I have recently developed. So I love studio fade outs now.
Nice.
I used to be very like, oh, I don't know about fade outs. Like just find a way to end the song. But now I'm so into fade outs.
Yeah, here's the thing. Because when you said making a statement.
Right.
Because I feel like the fade out, the lack of an ending is the statement, you know? Like
sure.
This song is so good that we're just going to turn the volume down and keep playing it forever.
Right.
Like you as a listener, you're done. You can go away. But like we're still in a room somewhere playing this.
Yeah. See you later.
Yeah. Forever.
I think that's a good way to frame it. I like that. I've read recently that the fade out has an interesting effect on the listener's brain, where they actually like phantom hear the song for much longer than a hard cut.
Oh, it locks it in.
It locks it
in.
It's a like,
trick.
It's like the waves, like they have momentum and they have to like settle down versus like a hard cut where it kind of ends the experience for the listener. So there is sort of a marketing incentive to doing the fade out.
Good to know, Jasper. Thank you for sharing that tidbit.
And you can always fade it back in like George Martin did, you know, on that one Beatles tune where he like he faded it out and he's like, oh, something good's happening.
Just kidding.
So for everyone listening at home, I'm Jasper and I'm here chatting with Rob and Graham from Leisure Club because they have a brand new single that's coming out on Friday, the day after tomorrow. And I've asked them to bring in a playlist that inspired them to, just inspires them as musicians. But I've disrupted the playlist and I've made requests because I really like their last single that they put out. When did it come up? 6 weeks ago?
Yeah.
2 months ago, something like that.
Came out in July, early July.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a song called Dirt. And I remember hearing this song for the first time live when we did that show together at the Fox. Nice. Whenever that was. It was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Well, not too long ago. But I remember being struck. But I really love the guitar riff that opens it up. And I remember being struck by the departure in tone and feel and vibe that this song has on your set. So I would love for you guys to maybe just talk about the song a little bit before you hear it. Give us some insight into what it's about or how it was made or whatever.
Yes. It is not quite anything like any of the other songs we have written and released. It's funny because we've just been playing all these kind of chill, laid back, you know, songs off this playlist for you. And this is not that. Dirt is not that. It's the song is about, I mean, Jamie should probably be the one to talk about this more, but we've talked about it as a group. And the song is about something that's kind of pertinent to our lives living in East Vancouver. And it's, you know, just about the state of addiction and drug use without getting too heavy. It's kind of just about how things start with rose-colored glasses a lot of times, not just in terms of drugs, but anything, and can turn those rose-colored glasses can turn quite dark quite quickly.
Okay.
Basically. Yeah. And you mentioned us playing it live. It is interesting. It was kind of quite the conundrum of figuring out where to put it in our live set because it is such a, you know, drastic change from the rest of the songs. Generally speaking, we'll usually play it last because of that.
I liked that. Yeah. I thought it was a great way to close the set.
Yeah, it's just out of left field.
It really woke me up to like, oh, right. Like this is a totally new thing that's happening and then it's over really quick. And I think it's a great way to end the set.
Thank you.
Also, another place where bands have the most arguments, how to open and close sets.
Totally. Just set order in general.
Set order.
And it's funny too because like you're in the band setting arguing about it, heated conversations are happening, and like no one in that audience really probably cares or notices, you know, what order your songs are in that they've never heard before.
Yeah. I don't know who said it. I think it was Marcus Aurelius. We suffer more in our heads than we do in real life.
So true. Right? Oh, man. So
in
true.
In every aspect.
In every aspect. Okay. Well, without further ado, this is Dirt by Leisure Club. Yeah, I really, really like that song. It's relentless.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a driving force.
Who's playing the riff? Is that
That's
you, Graham?
Me, yeah.
Yeah?
That is a Jamie Smale riff, though. He wrote it.
He did?
Yeah.
He's great. I really like I like the way he's quite a stoic front person, I find. Yeah. You know, he really posts up with the, like Julian Casablancas style, like on the stand.
He'd love to hear you say that. I hope he's listening right now. He's probably smiling.
Yeah, well, feel free to pass that along to him. Well, fellas, we're almost out of time. We are approaching the debut of your new single, the world premiere of this brand new song, which was a Ryan Worsley produced song.
This one is a Howard Redekop.
It's Howie?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it's called Strange Times.
Yeah.
And it's basically about reaching a point in a relationship where things get strange or difficult.
Sure.
And kind of persevering, pushing through it, finding new ways to keep things afloat.
Cool. Well, hey guys, thanks so much for coming and chatting with me, making the trip all the way out to UBC. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
For everyone that's listening at home, this is Rob and Graham from Leisure Club, and this is their new single, Strange Times.